So this is Ephesians chapter 1. Do you guys know what a pericope is? Anybody know what a pericope is? Okay, well, think of it this way. When you see those headings in your Bibles, it begins like in this one, if you were to open your Bibles in the English Standard Version, it will say, the spiritual blessings in Christ. And that's a pericope. That's a section of Scripture. It's broken down into a section, different sections of Scripture. Sometimes those section headings are really good and really descriptive, and sometimes they leave a little bit more to be desired. The favorite Bible that I usually use, it leaves a little bit more to be desired when it describes this section. English Standard Version, spiritual blessings in Christ. That's what this is all about. This is really our, I appreciate the songs that we just sang. This, Ephesians chapter 1, is really the call to worship. This is our call to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So before we begin looking at this, let's just stop and pray again, can we? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for those that are away at family camp, experiencing something different in a different setting, and will be worshiping you in that setting, and have been connecting with you and with one another in the camp setting. And Father, we are grateful to be here and to connect with you now. So it's in Christ's name we ask that you would speak to us. Amen. So this is our call to worship. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what you're like. Each of us have some kind of different, you know, inner personality thing going on. And, you know, for me, it's just a young age, I can remember back even into high school is like, you know, I'm not really, you know, that top level. I held some records on the track team. But I knew that if that guy on the baseball team had been running, still participating in track, he would have been faster than me. I knew that. Okay? I don't know why when I was in the Army, somehow I showed up one day and they said, pack your stuff for the next 3 weeks, you're going to go to this leadership training. I said, why would I be in any leadership training? Why would that happen? I could remember, any of you, some of you have same color of hair as I do. And any of you remember Bill Pierce? Anybody remember Bill Pierce? He's an old guy that used to be on the radio in a program called Night Sounds. And he'd have this mellow voice. He played the trombone. And he was talking through the life of Moses. This is at night when I'm in this leadership training class in the Army. And he was talking about God's call on the life of Moses. And when God called Moses, Moses said, not me, right? That's my paraphrase. But he said, not me. I can't do it. I can't speak. How about my brother Aaron? He's better at talking. And God used that to speak to me. It still doesn't. I mean, all through life, and when I was pastoring and then when I was working in the district office, it's like I'm kind of, you know, the 10 talent, 2 talent, 1 talent. Yeah, maybe I'm a 2 talent guy. You know, I would have all these things that, these gifts, these abilities. And so I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes we get like that, don't we? We just don't. Well, some of you don't have any problem. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes we're like that. I can remember a pastor that I followed. He was retired. He retired, and I came in and pastored the church that he had pastored for the past several years. And he was such a great guy. He had written some books, and had pastored for many, many years. And yet I could still remember this haunting look in his eyes, because he wanted to be an evangelist. He wanted to be like Billy Graham. He didn't feel like he had measured up. But I knew from the testimony of many others in that region of the country that he had a huge impact. Now, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you're feeling down. I don't know if you feel like you can conquer the world. I don't know what you feel like. I just know that there are times when we can feel like we just don't got it. But I think we need to look at what God has to say. It's really important, no matter how we feel about life on any given day, any given week, what does God say? And so Paul is writing from prison, by the way, as he writes the book to the church in Ephesus, which was a major trade city, and everything that goes on in a major trade city, this church was facing. And Paul's writing to this church. He just says, and you could just follow along. Everybody's got a sheet. And what I'm going to ask you to do later on, now, I don't know how you guys will be this morning. This is different, right? But if you want to participate and call something out, that's okay. You know, if you get too rough with me, I got my wife here, she'll protect me. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, from prison writing, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what he is. He's one who has been called by God. He's to the saints, to those who are set apart as believers in Jesus Christ, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is where it becomes that section which is really the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. So I don't know all of you, and it would be wrong for me to assume that everyone in here is a follower of Jesus Christ. I would hope that's true, but I don't know. But if you are, here are some things that says about your relationship with God. Paul starts out, blessed be God the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has shown favor to us. He has looked well upon us. He has granted us great benefits, and we're going to look and see what some of those are. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, what stands out to you in that last phrase? Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What stands out to you? What would you circle? What word would you circle, or what words would you circle? What? Me. What? Can I ask a follow-up question? What do you mean by that? Now, I'm picking on Bonnie because she knows we'll just jab back and forth here. But if any of you, if you say something and I say, well, what do you think? Just feel free to pass. Send it over to Randy. Okay. Go ahead. So what do you mean? What do you expound upon that? Okay, great. Anybody else want to? I promise I won't ask everybody a follow-up. Well, I'll tell you why I picked up Mike, because earlier, then we'll come over to you. Earlier, she said, how old do you think I am? Like, I'm going to answer that, right? I don't think so. Oh, I have enough gray hair, no, not to do something like that. Okay, Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, so.
Wow, yeah, so we're, yeah, that's moving on just a little bit. I'd stop at the word chosen. I don't know about you, when I was a young kid playing baseball, they had the pick-me-up games. I was the last one chosen or near the last. That was just me. And there was a good reason for that. Because I was just terrible at baseball. But God has chosen us. Yeah. Oh. Predestined. Wow. You're getting just a little bit ahead of me, but that's a great word. That is, let's stick with verse 4 for just a moment. We're going to come back to you when the predestined part. But yeah, he has chosen us, and before, yeah, so this is before the foundation of the world. Now we'll go to predetermined, right? Isn't that what predestination means? Is God said this is the way it's going to be. So he, and Tim, to your point, the holy and blameless, that really speaks of another big word, right? Which is that sanctification. You know, in some Alliance churches, and I think you used to have it here, the fourfold gospel was up there. Christ our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. Christ is all in all, and he is not only our Savior, but he is our Sanctifier. He's the one that sets us apart to live holy lives. That we should be holy and blameless. Now, here's where we come to a little phrase. It's just, you know, in our English Bibles, some words don't fit. Somehow they put in love, and then go on into verse 5. I wish it, in love could be in verse 5. But, you know, when that guy was riding along on his chariot or a little buggy and he decided what needed to be a verse and a bump hit, and that's where he put it. In love, he predestined us. It's not only that he predestined us arbitrarily, but he did it because he loves us. I'd like to just stop there for a while. So in love, he predestined us. He predetermined that he was going to choose us to be in his family. There are just a whole lot of things. Michael was asking me a question earlier. I said, I really don't know the answer to that, Michael. He usually asks me those kind of questions that I have to think about more. But this one, I don't know. It's in love, he predestined us to adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Just goes back again that he determined it to the praise of his glorious grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor, something that we get that we don't deserve, in which he blessed us in the beloved. Now, in one of my Bibles, here comes a little, in him, I've highlighted it on this sheet of paper for myself, but going through this paragraph and each time just highlighting, in him, in Christ, in him we have another big word. We have redemption. Through his blood. Okay, so what is redemption? Anybody? Almost all of those are true. I won't tell you which, no. But yeah, it's bought back. It is a cleansing that takes place. And we have that in Christ. We, in him, we have this taking away of our sin. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ, right? For the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to his riches and grace, which he has, what? Sparingly doled out to us, which he has lavished. Just, whew. And he did it in all his wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. Anything there stands out? Yeah. Lavished. What does lavished mean to you? Buried us in it, okay? His grace, love. I'm sorry?
He allowed us to be with him.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Yeah. We're not closed outside, right? Somebody else said something. Freely given. Yeah. Didn't have to. Okay. Do you get why this is a call to worship? You get why this is a call to worship our Lord and Savior? Because of all that Christ has done for us. In him we have attained an inheritance. Now you, many of you have been around the church for a while, you've been around Christ for a while, you've known Christ for a while. What kind of inheritance do we have in Christ? Say it again. Eternal life. So what does that mean? Describe something about, not just you, but anybody. Describe what is it like, eternal life? I mean, we said we got eternal life. Well, what does that mean?
Life after death.
Life after death. Be with him. Man, that was a key thing for me. Be with him. Well, we could camp there when you start using words like joy and hope and peace, and what do those mean? We'll just move on just a little bit, okay? But that's great. So we have an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That sounds like he's had a real plan. He's got kind of thought this through, right? So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. This is a call to worship when we talk about these spiritual blessings we have in Christ. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, I remember I was sitting with a young man in my office years ago when I was pastoring. He had been to his first year of Bible college. And we were kind of doing some stuff, and I asked him about what the word salvation means. What do you, and I'm just telling you, we had to have a longer session together, okay, because he didn't understand what salvation was. But what would be your understanding? I don't want to put any, yeah, just what would be your understanding of salvation? What?
Being saved,
well, what does being saved mean? Being saved from our sins. Okay. Yeah, that'd be true. What do you think it would mean here in this context? Kind of going back when Tim pointed out that we should be holy and blameless, so it goes back to that, it connects those two together. So it's not just something saved from something in the future, that is true. But saved from living in ways that aren't pleasing to our Lord now. Not being bound as Galatians would say, being in those chains of sin. All right, so in him we also, we were sealed. That's another word that I underlined. Sealed, was it? It says, the gospel of salvation and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Sealed. What, when you talk about seal, what conjures up in your mind when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit? Okay. Okay. Very good. Yeah. So stamp of approval. It's permanent. It's settled. Yeah. It's done. Okay. Cannot be undone. Who said that? Okay. Thank you. This is a call to worship. The spiritual blessings in Christ. Let's go on to verse 15. Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having that he also may give you so that you might have eyes of your hearts enlightened." So spirit of revelation and knowledge in him, hearts enlightened, "that you may know what is the hope of your calling, to which you have been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now I need to ask you this question. Do you pray for your church? You don't have to answer. But do you pray for your church? Yes. And then what do you pray for your church? Now, I'm going to suggest to you that this might be a good thing to be praying for the people of your church. That they might have that spirit of wisdom, that revelation, that knowledge of God. Sometimes we just bless the church, help the church meet the finances, help the missionaries, and, here's some good concrete things to be praying, and you can expand on it, but here's some concrete things to be praying for the church. And here's what I want you to see in this first, in this first chapter of Ephesians. We have God's call to worship him, really. When we have all the spiritual blessings we saw in verses 3 through 14. And remember how I said I highlighted these couple words, in him, in him, in him? All this is in Christ. What we have, what has been kind of displayed here, is what we have in Christ, the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, but we are in Him. Now, where is Christ? The one who, verse 20, where it says that He worked in Christ. So God has worked in Christ and He raised Him from the dead. We have been crucified with Christ, it says someplace in Scripture, right? We have been, and you know, see what it says here? We are seated with Him as His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and every name that is named. Now, sometimes we feel like we're second rate. Sometimes we feel like we don't measure up. But according to this, we are in Christ. And yes, we have been crucified with Christ, but we have been raised with Christ. We are seated with Christ in God's right hand in the heavenly places. Now, your position of spiritual authority is immense. Your position with Christ is solid. And you... I don't know you, right? So I can say this, and you'll just take it as kind of a general thing. You need to act like it. You need to say, no, this is my position in Christ. This is who I am. I am going to follow. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to not believe any of the lies of Satan that I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm a two-talent guy. I'm going to use those two talents. Maybe you're 3.5 talents. Maybe you're 10 talent person. Embrace that and use what God has given you and realize your position in Him. He has chosen you. He predetermined that. He did it out of His love for you. He did it in a way that He just... You weren't part of His family? He adopted you into the family. Yes, we got to make a decision for Christ. This is that section, you know, where it talks about predetermined and election and all those kind of things. Or people get off and did God make all these determinations and we don't have any responsibility, or is it our responsibility? I don't understand all that. That's part of the mystery. What is true is that God did predetermine. He did predestine. What is true from other passages of Scripture, we have a choice to make. So, my challenge to you this morning is look at the position that you as a believer in Jesus Christ have, the standing you have, and begin to embrace that and act upon it. What would it be like if we all did that as a church? How would that change the Treasure Valley? What would it be like if we all embraced who God says we are in Him? I think it would make a difference. I think it would make a difference. This is why it was so wonderful. So wonderful to have communion this morning. And as we think upon the bread and the cup and what Jesus Christ did for us, we remember His death until He comes. We remember all that He's done for us and all that God has prepared for us. And we remember that we are in Him and our position in Him.